Well, we have been talking about, God said grow up spiritually. And we've been talking about growing up spiritually. And, you know, we're going to go down that pathway again, I think, again today. We may not, I mentioned earlier about some things that I thought we were going to get into. I don't know that we'll get that far today. But I was talking about living in a place where we're not beneath, but we're above. You know, it says in the Old Covenant. Now, in the New Testament, the New Covenant, it says, is a better covenant established upon better promises. Well, if it's a better covenant, then the Old Covenant, and the Old Covenant said, you shall be above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail, blessed coming in and going out, in the city and in the field. We can claim that, but we are more blessed than they were. And God intends for us to live that way. But the thing of it is, we live that way by faith. It must be done by faith, and we must live as we grow up into what God has for us. That's how we live that way. And Pastor Jennifer mentioned some things about some friends of ours, Mark and Victoria Bowling, and we support them personally. And one of these days I'm going to bring them in to preach for us. Maybe we'll do another missions conference because they are missionaries. They travel, they have lived on the mission field. They've lived in Mexico, they've lived in India, and they live in Tulsa right now, but they travel all the time. And God has put in their heart, if you go to the services in Clay City, I made a statement just a couple weeks ago, God puts places in your heart before He puts you in the place. He puts the place in you before He puts you in the place. You can see that in the Scriptures. He put Canaan in Abraham before He put Abraham in Canaan. And God put Pakistan in Mark and Victoria Bowling before He put them in Pakistan. For years, it was spoken. It may have been Mark Brzee or Dr. Mary Frances Ferralo, or it could have been both of them, spoke over them about them going to Pakistan for years. And the doors were not open. They are now open. And they are going into Pakistan. And they send us a monthly letter, is what it is. And this is just a little note that Victoria sent to those that support them. It says, "Dear friends, the plane tickets have been purchased. Our visas were originally denied." Now, you better know it's God. Yeah. You better know it's God so that you can stand when your visa gets denied. Oh, but God, I thought it was your will. I thought you wanted us to go. That it was in them. It was in them before they were ever there. God said to them, you're going to go there and minister. God has spoken to them, you're to go and do these meetings. You better know what God is saying to you. They knew. When there, it says, originally their visas were denied. But now we have them. Praise God. They were denied, now they have them. The permit has also been granted for the crusade. That is a big deal. The last one that they did, I believe it was the last one, it came down to the very last second before they got that approved. So it's a big deal there to get it approved to be able to do this. We leave for Pakistan on September 22nd, and we still need 56,000 of the $60,000 budget. You had better know it's God. If you do not have 56,000 of the $60,000, they will see every penny come in because they live this. They live this. Matter of fact, most of it, I believe now, has come in, hasn't it? It's amazing what God has done. And you say, yeah, but they're missionaries. Let me ask you a question. Are you breathing? Are you breathing? Answer me. Are you breathing? Okay. That's one qualification. Because you're here. You're breathing. Are you born again?
Yes.
Well, guess what? You qualify for this life. This life that they are living, you qualify for. You are born again. God expects us to learn, to grow, to get to the point where we walk by faith and not by sight. God intends for us to live that way. And we can live that way. And I'm telling you, Jennifer and I are getting to the point where we are going to give thousands to special guests that we have come in. Not all of them. I'm talking in a single service, give thousands. That is our heart. God has put that into us. Therefore, He will allow us to be the blessing to them that He wants us to be. The finances are on their way. We've got it, 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 we've got it.
Yes.
Doesn't matter whether I've seen it yet. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by hearing. We walk by faith and not by smell. We walk by faith and not by taste. We walk by faith and not by what I feel. We walk by faith and not by our emotions. We walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That is the way that God intends for us to live. Every one of us. This isn't just for the missionary. This isn't just for the apostle. This isn't just for the prophet. This isn't just for the evangelist. This isn't just for the pastor. This isn't just for the teacher. This is for all the body of Christ. This is the way that He wants us to live. And we can live this way.
Amen.
We can live this way. The thing of it is, God wants us to come up and to change our mindset. And the only way we're going to do that is the way that He says. Number one, we're going to have to feed on the Word of God. And we talked about that last week, and we're going to go into that some more today. And, you know, the importance of this, you cannot get away from what God says. If you want, I believe every Christian truly desires the victory that God says is theirs. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, verses 55 through 57, He talks about, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always, this is God's idea. Now, you got to remember, if He were standing physically before us, that carries the same weight, His Word, as if He were standing before us and saying, the victory is yours. When it is in the Bible, it is the most sure word that you have. I gave you some statistics last week, just simply about Jesus, and the numbers of that were just astronomical, that one person could fulfill all of the prophecies that are in the Bible. I mean astronomical. It is God speaking to us. And when He says, I have victory for you, He means I have victory for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 also says the same thing, basically. It says that He spreads the aroma of His knowledge by us everywhere. And He always gives us triumph and victory everywhere we go. And I believe that most of the body of Christ truly wants that. I do. Some of them are sitting in churches that don't know how to help them. Others are sitting in churches where the Word of God is not given any esteem whatsoever. And then some, quite honestly, are people that are lazy. That was me. I got both hands up, folks. That was me. I sat in some of the best churches you can imagine and wasn't living by faith. I wasn't. I was living by my giftings, my abilities. I made money by my job. And I did not live by faith. And most of the body of Christ is like that. We're lazy. We just live by our giftings. You realize your giftings were not given to you for you to live by them. My abilities that He has given me are not for me to live by. It says the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It says that, I believe, four times in the New Testament. At least three, and there's one in the Old Testament where it says that. And so the just shall live by faith. The one in the Old Testament actually says the just shall live by his faith. He even makes it more specific, your faith. So we are to live by faith. Well, your talents, your abilities, your giftings are not for you to live by. You want to know what they're for? They are for the fulfillment of what God has called you to do. Now, does that mean that we're not supposed to work? No. Your giftings a lot of times will open up a place for you. They'll put you in the right place. But the giftings are actually for God to work through you. People that have incredible talent in singing, that is God's gifting to operate through them. Many make a lot of money with it. They think that that's what it's for. It's not. It is for the fulfillment of the call. Your giftings are for fulfillment of the call. Faith is to live by. And in order for you to have faith, you must get a hold of the Word of God. We've got to get a hold of the Word of God. And in order for you to continue to move forward with God, you need to remain hungry for the things of God. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And there are many different ways to look at some of the things that I'm going to talk about here. Well, I shouldn't say many. There are at least a couple different ways to look at them. And we'll get into that. But we must hunger for the Word of God. We must remain hungry. This is our part. And God will fill you with what you hunger for if you hunger for the right things. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me see if I can find this really quickly. But in the book of Romans, whoops, went too far. In the book of Romans, it says in chapter 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what is he talking about? When he says hunger and thirst for righteousness, he's talking about hunger and thirsting for the kingdom of God. And we must get a hold of the reality that that's our part, to be hungry, to be thirsty for these things. But the great thing of it is, when you hunger and thirst, he will fill you. Now, let's go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse 4. I know I've gone down this pathway, and I can teach on this one aspect for probably at least a couple weeks. So I'm gonna try and rein it in so that we get beyond this. But Proverbs 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat or abundantly supplied for. So the soul of the sluggard desires. So when Jesus himself, sitting down on the mountain and teaching his disciples and all of the people around him, what we call the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When he says hunger and thirst, he is not talking about mere desire. Desire is not enough. It must go beyond desire. People often desire the things of God. But what does he say here? Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then when we look at there in Proverbs, he says the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. What is hunger and thirst? Hunger and thirst are desire amplified, desire intensified, desire on steroids, desire to the nth degree that moves you to diligent pursuit. That's the desire. That's the difference between desire and hunger and thirst. It starts with a desire, but it goes far beyond that when it gets to the point of diligent pursuit. I will not give up until I receive this. And that's the way it's got to be for us when pursuing the kingdom of God. And that's the way that it's got to be for us when getting into the Word of God. When I read the Word of God, there are certain sections of Scripture which I know what's there. You know, I begin reading, and if I'm in Luke, I know what's in chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, you have the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, and then you have him going into his public ministry, and he reads out of the book of Isaiah. I know what's in certain sections of Scripture. I know what's in Matthew chapter 5. I know what's in Matthew chapter 6. I know what's in John chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. So I have to watch it as much as anybody else when I start reading Matthew chapter 5, because I know what's here. It's the Beatitudes. Well, guess what? That's where my private reading time is right now, is in the Beatitudes. You want to know how far I've gotten? I've gotten two of them. This is not to toot my horn. This is something that I want you to understand. The Word of God is so rich, so wonderful, that He can show you something out of a single verse which will change your life forever. God showed me something out of one of the Beatitudes one time, the one that I've actually been reading. And it was such a powerful thing. And it has changed how I look at life, how I look at things. And this verse, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We must hunger and thirst to diligent pursuit of the kingdom of God through the Word of God. We cannot get it any other way. If you want the victory that He says is yours, do you want the victory that He says is yours? Do you want victory? If you want victory, raise up your right hand. Right hand. There we go. Right hand. I believe we want victory. Now, if you want victory, raise up the left hand. There we go. I think we know our right from our left. Good. All right. We want victory. So if you want victory, raise up both hands. Hallelujah. If you can do that, you can do what we're talking about. Because you were able to hear my voice, you are able to hear God's voice. You were able to hear my voice and do what I said, you are able to hear His voice and do what He says. And there will be times where He will call you to do something and you think, dear God, I don't know that I can do that. And He says, yeah, you can. I wouldn't have told you to do it. So sometimes He'll have to hold you as you go, because there are things that you can't do on your own. But when He gives you a command to do something, there is encapsulated within the command the empowerment to fulfill what He says. Now that's a mouthful. But when He speaks and He tells you to do something, whatever it is, encapsulated within the Word is the empowerment to fulfill what He says. He never tells you, do it, and doesn't empower you to do it. So get a hold of that. When He tells me something, encapsulated within what He tells me, I am capable of doing. Because it says that the Word is powerful. He says in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. That's the Word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto health, unto provision, unto whatever you need. Encapsulated within the Word is the power to fulfill what He says. So His Word is such a powerful thing that we need to hunger and thirst for it. We need to not just have the desire. The sluggard desires, but he doesn't have it. But the one who diligently pursues will have what God says. Now, understand, this is not a works mentality. This is not, as long as I work the works, I'm okay. I have lived there. And I will tell you, that will wear you out. That is not the way of rest. That is the way of works. And it is not God's way. It is not God's way. The way that God has for us is a way where we obey with the empowerment that He gives us, but we are able to do so and at the same time rest. It's amazing. God's way is so much better. So He says the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul diligently shall be made fat. Proverbs 27 and verse 7. Proverbs 27 and verse 7. The full soul loathes a honeycomb, but the hungry soul, to them every bitter thing is sweet. Now, this is the verse I was talking about. There's different ways to look at this. And I want you to examine this with me, because this is an amazing verse. If you are already full of things other than the Word of God, then even that which is the most sweet thing in the world, you will not want. He talks about the honeycomb. The full soul loathes a honeycomb. Different translations on that are to tread down, to trample, and even to reject. So what he's saying here is, if you're full, you're going to reject, you're going to trample underfoot, you're not going to give any weight to something. In other words, we must live in a state where we're constantly hungering for God. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And what I'm talking about here is, even when God says, "Now, son, I want you to stop doing that." That's what we call corrective. And I've had God correct me in the pulpit. I have. I've had Him correct me in the pulpit. I remember standing in the pulpit in Root House, Illinois, Lighthouse Outreach Center, on a Wednesday night preaching. Started to go down this pathway, and God said, "Don't go there." Okay. So I preach along for a while. I started to go down that pathway again. God said, "Don't go there." Okay. So we went and preached some more. Then I started to go down that pathway, and then He said, "Don't go there." Okay. And it was like that. First two times were pretty gentle. The third time was pretty, you know, loud. It was a little bit more stern. So I've had God correct me. I've had Him correct me over and over and over again. Don't think this is just you. I've had Him do it with me in the pulpit. And it doesn't mean that I was wrong even in what I was going to preach. But it wasn't the right time, that's for sure. It may have been that they weren't ready for it. Now, when He says there, the full soul loathes the honeycomb, but the hungry, to him, every bitter thing is sweet. When He brings correction, or when He brings something that is going to be hard on your flesh, you consider that as a bitter thing. But if you're hungry for Him, even the corrective things that He says, even the things that He says that are hard on my flesh, I devour them. Because they're now sweet to me. Even the bitter thing becomes sweet. That which would be bitter if I wasn't hungry for Him now becomes sweet. You must hunger. Now, why am I talking about this? Because when we get outside the doors, I cannot spoon feed you. You must feed you yourself. And the only way you're going to feed you with the Word of God is if you're hungry. Because if you're not hungry, you're not going to pursue it. And though it is deliverance for every area of life, though it is power and victory in every area of life, it will do nothing for you unless you get it. I can pray and do a few things. I can bind and loose, and I can hold some stuff back because I am your pastor. And whether you realize it or not, there are times when I do that. That's my job. Part of my description. You go back to the book of Ezekiel, and in particular in Ezekiel, he talks about pastors. And that's one of the things, I mean, there is so much in that book about pastors, shepherds it refers to them as, but it's pastors. It's amazing all the things he writes in there. And we are to seek your betterment, benefit, and blessing. I am not to shear you and benefit from you. I am to provide for you. And when it talks about leading someone to pasture, one of the things that you can translate shepherd as is to pasture, not pastor, to pasture. In other words, I lead you to pasture. You can put it this way, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can give you all the word in the world, but I can't make you drink. But a friend of mine back on the other side of the state said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But if you salt their oats, they'll get hungry, or they'll get thirsty. So I may salt your oats every once in a while. The full soul loathes the honeycomb. But if we've got to get hungry for the Word of God. And you need to get to the point where if I don't have time in the Word, man, it grieves me. I must have my time. There was a song back in the 1980s sung by Larnell Harris, I believe it was, "I Miss My Time With You." And it was God speaking to man as much as man speaking to God. And we need to get to the point where I miss my time with you And one of the greatest ways that I spend time with Him is in His Word. It's in His Word. So, in the natural realm, what you eat has a big, big, big impact on how healthy you are and how strong you are. The same is true in the spirit. The natural body, if you eat garbage, guess what? You're going to have a weak body. It's a reality. Now, we have two grandkids, and cute grandkids. And, you know, quite honestly, they're a lot like me. They like sweet things. They like sweet things. They like candy. I love candy. I can't survive just on candy, but I love candy. Well, if you feed them only candy, even though they've only got baby teeth, and Nolan has some that have fallen out and he's gotten some in, but their baby teeth will rot. I mean, it will not be good for them. If you feed them nothing but candy, they're going to be weak in body. I mean, that's a reality. The same is true for you spiritually. In the spirit realm, if you take garbage in, you're going to have a weak, weak spirit. And we must feed on God's Word. Now, there are churches where all you're going to get is fluff. And you might get a little bit of the Word here and there, but it's basically fluff. And even with fluff, there's some nutrition in it, but there's not a lot. And this is why we need to get into the Word of God and let God talk to us. Because He will talk to you. Guess what? He knows how to speak specifically to you. And He knows how to speak specifically to me. And when I read the Word of God, He will talk to me. You may be reading the King James Version that I'm reading, or you may be reading the English Standard Version that I'm reading, or whatever version it is, but He will still talk to you individually in a way that you can understand Him. And so we need to get into the Word where we're not just eating fluff. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" The Amplified Classic says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit who can raise up or bear?" We need to be strong spiritually. You become strong spiritually, and it will affect your body and your soul, because you'll grab hold of them, and you'll speak what God has to say, and you'll see some things come to pass. So, in the natural realm, garbage in equates to weak body. In the spirit realm, garbage in. You say, well, what are you talking about garbage in? We'll get there. We're not going to spend a whole lot more time, but I want you to see a few things here. What you're going to partake of, whether you realize it or not, are somebody's words. You're going to listen to somebody's words. You're going to listen to God's words. You're going to listen to the world's words. You're going to listen to somebody's words. And you're going to feed on somebody's words. And somebody's words are going to be what you take in. You're going to feed on somebody's words, whether you realize it or not, and it's going to go down into you. Jesus Himself talked about this in the parable of the sower and the seed in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. All three of those talk about the parable of the sower and the seed. And what did He say? He said, the seed is the Word of God. Well, let me put it this way. Words are seed. Whether it be God's words, the devil's words, somebody else's words, words are seeds which will go down into the core of who you are. And they will affect you. Now, let's go again into Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Actually, go to Proverbs chapter 20 first. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. And the King James says, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." Now, let me read this out of a couple other translations, and I want to get into something here. The Expanded Bible says it this way: stolen, fraudulent, false food. Now remember, words are food that you're going to feed on. Stolen, fraudulent, false food may taste sweet at first, but later it will feel like a mouth full of gravel. And the Voice translation puts it this way: at first, this bread of lies. And I really like that, because this is what we're looking at when we're looking at the world's words. He says here, at first, the bread of lies tastes sweet until guilt reduces it to gravel in your mouth. Now, you're going to listen to somebody's words, and you're going to take somebody's words into your core. Those words they should not be fraudulent words. They should not be false words. They should not be bread of lies. And the only way you're going to get that is to take God's word in. You take God's word in, and it is going to be good for you. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. The Passion Translation puts it this way: senseless people find no pleasure in acquiring true wisdom. That's God's word. They take no pleasure in acquiring true wisdom. It may require something from them. It may require them to lay something down. It may require them to pick something up. It may require them to walk a different way. It may require them to go somewhere that God wants them to go. But senseless people find no pleasure in acquiring true wisdom, for all they want to do is impress you with what they know. So senseless people find no pleasure in acquiring true wisdom, and God's word is true wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, and I'm going to begin wrapping it up here in just a moment, but in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How are you going to know that? By His word. The New American Standard says, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Of course, he goes on there and he talks about not being drunk with wine wherein is excess, but being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. But you're not going to know God's word if you don't get into God's word and get God's word into you. So you need to feed, you need to hunger, you need to pursue the word of God. That means you must spend time in it. Words go down into our being. Good spiritual food will make you strong spiritually. God's word, even if it is corrective and makes us feel uncomfortable with our thoughts, attitudes, actions, ways, and even our words, God's word is still good food. And it is what will make you strong spiritually. Our hunger for His word needs to be received and maintained. And how do we do that? It's just like in the natural. When you smell good food and you're hungry, we call it whetting your appetite. You walk in the room and, oh man, I smell that brisket on. I mean, I can smell it. Or you know, some people, you know, for them it's something else. I mean, for some people, I don't know, it may be liver and onions. I agree with you. I don't think that's good either. But some people may love it. But the Word of God, when you even begin to open it up, and you begin to bring it before your eyes, it begins to draw you in. It whets your appetite, and it will do so to the degree, just as in the natural, it will whet your appetite to where your mouth begins to water, your spirit will begin to hunger. And then you pursue. How do we maintain that hunger? You get into the Word. And you let it draw you, and then you draw into it. Why is God's Word so important? I'm going to give you three things here, just bang, bang, bang. Why is God's Word so important? Number one, truth is revealed therein. Truth is revealed therein. God will show you what is right and wrong, what is light and darkness, what is truth and deception, what is good and bad. And you say, well, I'm pretty mature, but if you're not in the Word, you don't know those things. Because you're being bombarded by what the world is telling you is good and bad. So, number one, truth is revealed therein. And John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So truth is revealed therein. Number two, power is released thereby. First one, truth is revealed therein. Second one, power is released thereby. Again, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation can be translated as salvation, deliverance, health. It's whatever you need. So he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the word of God, the gospel, is the power of God unto whatever you need. And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it talks about he holds all things together by the word of his power. So there's power in his word. So the first thing was truth is revealed therein. The second thing is power is released thereby. And the third thing is God is vitally connected therewith. You want to know him? Get in his word. He is connected with it so much so that he has sworn that he will do what he said in his word. He swore by himself. So that takes you back to the very person of God. You have his word and you have his oath, which takes you to his character. You cannot separate him from his word. You say, well, where do you get that? That's in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So he is inseparable from his word. You want to know him? Get in his word. So what is it that we are listening to? Well, what you're listening to will determine the very direction of your life. That is, not just what you are listening to right here and right now, not just what you are listening to in church and in this church, but what you are listening to in abundance. That is what will determine the very direction of your life. And if you want God's best, you're going to have to learn to listen to God's Word. So what you need is not to just listen to the things we've been listening to. I'm going to wrap it up here in literally just a few minutes. But let me give you some things. How many hours are there in a day? 24. Okay, we got 24. Let's say, on average, we sleep 8 hours a day. Some people it's more, some people it's less. Some people need more sleep, some people need less. That's okay. But let's just average it out. So to say we sleep every day 8 hours. That leaves how many hours a day? That's 16. 16 hours a day when you're awake, okay? That leaves 112 waking hours a week. You say, how do you get that? You multiply the 7 days times the 16 hours. Simple math. That's 112 hours. Now then, if you are getting God's Word only when you are at church services every Sunday, and I put every in air quotes, because not everybody's here every Sunday. But let's say you are. If you're getting God's Word only when you're here at church services on Sunday, that gives you, if we have an extremely long service, 1.5 hours of God's Word a week. Okay? Now, this is statistics. Just simple math. Let's do a little basic here. That's 112 hours of possible time when you're awake. You give 1.5 hours to God's Word, that leaves how much time? 110.5 hours a week. The percentage here is less than 1.4% of your time is spent in God's Word. Less than 1.4. It's 1.35 something. like 1.356 something. Now, why am I talking about that? Because the reality is we cannot expect to be strong spiritually if we are giving God 1.3% of our waking hours. I'm not saying you have to give Him 100% in study and prayer. I know you can't do that. But if the only time you're giving Him is what we've got right now, you're not going to grow up. And the victory that He promises us, you're not going to walk in. Because it's going to require filling up on His Word. Now, there are some great authors out there. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, gone home to be with the Lord, went home to be with the Lord in 2003. So he's been gone a few years now. Kenneth Copeland, great, great man of God. Keith Moore, Keith Butler, you know, all these great men of God. You can go all the way back, and you could go back to Matthew Henry and different men in the 1700s. Great men of God, great authors. Some of them have authored tremendous books. But if you are getting your doctrine daily from books and not the book, you're still not going to be strong. Because God's Word, and you say, well, it's written about God's Word. Yeah, but it isn't God's Word. God can say something to you in a single word, in a single verse, and it can explode. You say, well, I can get that in a book. Yeah, you can. But God's Word is more powerful than any other book. You need to get your doctrine from God's Word. It should be your primary source for feeding. Don't be constantly going to someone's opinion of God's Word. If you're listening to the world system of words, and that's the only thing you're listening to, when you're outside of here, your mindset's going to be wrong. Your opinions are going to be wrong. Your direction is going to be wrong. You say, but I've got some great people that I listen to. Are they Christians? Well, even if they are, the one source that is trusted above everything else is right here. And it's not just my Bible, it's your Bible. The Bible is the most important book in the history of the world. Now, I'm going to say something about prayer, and then I'm closing. You can't substitute prayer for the Word. Can't do it. You need both prayer and the Word. But there's a whole lot of people that say, I pray all the time, that's all I need. That's a lie. You won't get what you need just from prayer. Say, well, I don't have time to read. Can you give God 5 minutes? 5 minutes is better than nothing. And He can change your life with 5 minutes a day. Then grow to where you give Him 15. And then grow to where you give Him half an hour. I mean, we can grow from one point to another where we give Him a little bit more time. And as we do so, God will get a hold of you and you get a hold of Him. But you do it through the Word. But when it comes to prayer, a lot of people that say, I pray all the time, this is what their prayer is like. Oh, like, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. It's crisis mode prayer. You want to know why it's crisis mode prayer? Because they're not in the Word. You get in the Word and it will change your life. You'll learn how to live. I'm not saying that everything's rosy and you have a smooth path all the time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you will know in your spirit because you fed on the Word of God what you're supposed to do. You have a really quick recognition of God. You don't have to wonder what He's saying because you recognize Him immediately. And He's talking to you all the time. He's leading you. He's guiding you. So if we think that prayer alone is enough, it's not. And here is another thing about prayer. You want to know what will also help concerning crisis mode prayer? You get into the Word and you won't be in crisis mode all the time because the Word teaches you how to pray. And people don't understand that. I pray all the time. You get into the Word and He's going to show you how to pray. He will show you how to pray effectively. Now, I've been talking about the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. What I want to talk about next, and I'm not going to go into it today, is the Spirit. Because we need to be connected to both the Word and the Spirit. The Word without the Spirit, you'll get dry. The Spirit without the Word, you'll get flaky. You'll be bouncing off the walls. You'll be running people away from the church. But we need both. There's times to run, but there's also times of absolute silence in His presence. So, the Word, we can't live the way that God wants us to without it. It will change the very way that you think.